Hey, sports fans, welcome to Hebsy on Sports, episode 318. I'm your host, Mark Hebscher, in the Little Italy studio, the soon-to-be long-forgotten Little Italy studio, because we're not going to be here for that much longer. We're moving the studio. Right now, we're hard by Cafe Diplomatico.
Right?
And we're going to be moving, well away from Little Italy. In the future, got a new studio being built right now as we speak.
Wow.
Toronto Mike is in the constantly renovated new Toronto studio, the mothership. If I tell you what this studio looked like at first, you wouldn't believe me. You would not believe me. People hitting their heads on the ceiling.
Oh, they still do that.
Okay? There was no... Wait a sec. Did you... Oh, you had the bathroom down there, right? James was living down there when we started that?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you didn't have the washer dryer. You had a problem with the washer dryer.
Yeah, I had to get that all sorted out. Absolutely.
That had to be sorted out too. And then... And remember, we used to use that... Oh, you still got that tripod of mine with the... Those funny clips on it. Remember, we used to hang the phone.
Yeah, we've come a long way.
And live stream it.
You're a TV star, I learned very quickly. Time to get that video up to snuff.
We had ribbon microphones, carbon microphones. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's episode 318. Today on the program, the NFL Conference Championships go on Sunday. Now, do you have any idea how important these games are? Not just to the football teams and their fans, but like the rest of North America, the viewing audience. I'll tell you about that, how incredibly powerful they are. Bengals, Chiefs, Niners, Eagles. Who do you like? Who you got? What do you think? These games are so big that one particular business had to completely alter their schedule so that they wouldn't be doing anything on Sunday, because everybody wants to watch the football. That's the way it is in the National Football League. That's power. We've also got the latest on the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Toronto Raptors. OG Anunoby, apparently not a happy man, according to sources. We've got the Baseball Hall of Fame, one person inducted this year, like one new person, and Fred McGriff. Bruce Beaudreau, Bruce of the Canucks. Did you see that clip?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. Ask somebody. Never go on the air Canucks. With a name of someone or something. Without checking, if you're not sure, don't say it, idiots. Bruce Boudreau, Rick Touche, talk about him as well, new coach of the Canucks. The terrible, awful, horrible, embarrassing Harold Ballard documentary. The Australian Open Finals are set for the men and the women. The NBA All-Star picks, the starters, and more. First, here's the aforementioned Toronto Mike, who, by the way, produced the quintessential Harold Ballard documentary.
Thank you. It needed more Hebsy, but I was wondering if you had watched
that. By the way, I wasn't part of your Harold Ballard documentary, but I was part of the one that aired on the CBC. At the very beginning, I'm on the documentary.
Okay, you know what? It was an oversight on my part not to have you as a huge part of mine.
I have very good stories, only because I freaking covered the guy for 12 years.
But there's going to be a sequel. But when we get to this segment, I can't wait to hear your take on the Ballard doc, because I watched it.
Of course you.
And I got a take as well. I know this is a teaser.
I know you do. Everyone does. Shit. Why do, Mike?
Yes?
Why? And you can answer this.
Well, so can you.
You and your wife can answer this as well as I can, along with my girlfriend.
Right.
Why do so many TV commercials nowadays, like every television commercial, feature mixed race couples and mixed race families? It's almost hilarious to see there are no commercials with whites only, or blacks only, or brown skinned people only, or Asian only. There are none. Like, there aren't any. Every single commercial. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you can list them
all.
Bang, bang, bang. Yeah. And this is pointed out, by the way, by my Asian girlfriend.
Right. I noticed it too, Hebsy. And it's interesting.
She's embarrassed by it. And you and I are both in relationships with, we're mixed race. We're white guys and we have, non-white significant others. I don't know. Have we gone completely the wrong way? Is this representative of our society?
Hebsy, I think it's a little, you know what it's like when the pendulum swings, right? Like, it, as usual, it swings a little too far. Obviously, I would guess, just on my anecdotal observations, that maybe like 8 to 10% of couples are mixed race. That's just like a, I'm throwing that number out there. But yeah, you're right.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good to me. It could be 14%, it could be 19%, it could be 8%.
Right.
But yeah, in around yeah. You know, that.
Because remember, in Toronto, there's more of it than outside of Toronto. Let's put it that way.
Right. But again, is this representative of like the country or society? It's not.
No, it's funny though, because you and I are happen to be in these relationships, and you're right. It's not just like a white guy and an Asian woman. Like sometimes it's a black guy and an Asian woman. Like they do mix it up. But you're right. On TV and commercials in Canada, all couples are a mixed race couple. Interesting. Just the pendulum swung, and then at some point,
if they're not, they're a wacky couple, like the couple on the Leon's commercial. Oh, there's some wacky white couple that couldn't make that couple
right.
couldn't make them of mixed race or of other races.
Good point. It's, like if your couple's going to be
kind of a dumb white kind of a, not dumb, but just sort of an out there kind of a white couple.
You're right. If you're making fun of the couple, yeah, that's like a hipster doofus couple or whatever. Like
hipster doofus.
Hipster doofus. If you're going to make fun of a couple, more often than not, you're going to pick a white couple to make fun of because it's less problematic.
Right.
Right. Right.
But anyway, I just, you know, and as you know, there are certain commercials that have a much higher rate. You see them way more often, especially during a sporting event. You know, they'll have that run of schedule where you see that same commercial, that credit score commercial with the guy talking to his dog, the white guy and the black girlfriend on the couch together. And I'm like, see this thing. And every time I see it, I'm like, I go, come on. Like, come on, who said, yeah, we got to add the dog to this one. And then it's just, you know, I don't know.
You know what, it sure does not offend me at all, of course.
No, but it doesn't offend. I just find it to be funny because I'm thinking, I know the companies that are, you know, the production companies and the ad agencies, obviously it's the ad agency that goes to the client and says, okay, here's what we want to do.
Right.
We want to have a mixed race couple with a mixed breed dog. In a house with a picket fence,
right?
And they're on the couch, and they're just sort of wearing their night clothes, their sweats, their farmer socks, you know, that kind of a thing. And we want to make them Canadian, but they have to be mixed race,
right? Diversity, Hebsy, diversity.
Right. How about the one where the couple? She's Chinese. He's Asian, South Asian, and they're looking at their neighbor across the way. Who's a white guy, weird looking dude wearing a robe and eating cereal and staring into their apartment and they're waving at him, right?
Right.
Like that's just like, come on. That's exactly like the commercial where the mixed race couple is building a new home for Home Hardware and the weird looking guy is doing yoga in a Speedo next door.
Right.
It's the same commercial. It's the same. We need a white guy and he's a weirdo. We need the white guy's got to be the weirdo. And then we'll have the mixed race couple, the neighbors, and that's the way the commercial is. Anyway, okay.
Love it. Love it.
So you know how popular the NFL playoffs are. You know that the of all the television shows that have ever aired in the United States, the top 6,000 shows are football games.
Yes.
They really are, except for a couple of Academy Awards and a few other things like that.
And MASH.
And MASH and the finale of Dallas. Like, it's all football. It's all football. Not the World Series,
right?
Not in the last 30 years or 40 years. Yeah. It's incredibly popular. So it's so popular that the usual Sunday final round of the PGA tournament, and it's every Sunday, you know, every Sunday you flip on the TV, it's the final round, but not this year. And not because, it's because this is NFL Sunday. This is the conference championships. It's two games. And you can't, and nobody, no golfers want to be golfing when they want to be watching football when everybody else wants to be watching football. So what happened was they actually moved, I'll talk about it later, they actually moved their final round. They moved their tournament up so that they wouldn't have to compete with the NFL playoffs. Very smart. All the highest viewed TV shows are football games. So Sunday at 3:00, San Francisco 49ers at Lincoln Financial Field in Philly to take on the favored Philadelphia Eagles. Or if you're from that part of the world, it's the Yiggles. It's Yiggles, right? Got it. The Yiggles. Oh, the Yiggles, right? And I can't do the Philadelphia accent right now, but it's sort of a Baltimore, Philly. There's that, you know, kind of a low. That's how they say low. Right from low.
Yeah, that does sound like Baltimore.
It's low. Fully. There's a little bit of a heart. Anyway, I can't do it. But they're the Yiggles. Okay.
Gotcha.
Anyway, they're a 2.5-point favorite. Now, that means they're kind of an underdog because usually the home team gets 3 points no matter what on the betting line, 3 points. So they're only 2.5. Hmm. So a lot of people like the Niners. Niners. So if you're from San Francisco, it's easier. It's more Robin Williams. Niners. Niners. And don't ever call it San Fran or Frisco. They'll kick the shit out of you if you do that. So Philly, 2.5-point pick there. And since I only went 1-3 last week with my picks and I had spent no money at all because I'm not a good bettor, I will cautiously take the Eagles in this one. The late game at 6:30 Eastern time comes from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, where the Cincinnati Bengals visit the Kansas City Chiefs, who will have Patrick Mahomes starting at quarterback despite a high ankle sprain. You know, just inject them with some cortisone or not cortisone, some whatever it is they put in there. What do they put in?
I thought it was cortisone, no?
Is it cortisone?
I thought so. No.
Something.
Some numbing cream.
Give me a shot. They go, give me a shot. Right? Give me a shot. Novocaine. It's Novocaine. Hmm. Like a painkiller, right? Like
you'll be a dentist.
Same kind of thing for your teeth? That needle?
Yeah, Novocaine
the area.
Freeze it up.
You don't feel it?
Yeah, he's playing for sure.
What ankle? What ankle? There's no ankle. I don't feel no ankle there.
I don't have an ankle.
Anyway, Chiefs are only, listen to this, Chiefs are only a 1.5-point favorite. So essentially both home teams are underdogs.
Oh, because of your three-point thing.
Well, you know.
I'm catching
on. 1.5. They're only 1.5, okay? Now, home, like it's like a home dog. So I'm going to take the Chiefs -1.5. So, yeah, I'm going to take the two home teams that are like underdoggies.
Don't you want my picks, Ebsy?
What were they last week, Mike?
I went 3-1 last week. I picked the Bills last week, but okay. So this week I'm going with Philadelphia and I'm going with Cincinnati. Mm. Picking Cincinnati in this game.
Nice.
So do with that what you wish.
All right, the two winners will meet February the 12th at State Farm Stadium. You know where that is, right, Mike? State Farm Stadium.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. That's all I know. Where is it?
It's in Glendale, Arizona.
Okay.
Glendale, Arizona. By the way, that's February 12th, the Super Bowl this year, 2 weeks from Sunday. The first Super Bowl was played January 15th, 1967. January 15th. So almost a month, like 28 days earlier. Back in the day when football season ended the middle of January. Now football season ends middle of February. By the way, final score in that first Super Bowl, Packers 35, Chiefs 10.
Wow.
I remember seeing it.
You watched that game?
Absolutely. It was called the NFL-AFL Championship then. It was a new thing. And the NFL poo-pooed this. The AFL. The NFL was like Vince Lombardi. Like, who are these guys? Like, come on. And the first two Super Bowls, the Packers just throttled the opponents. Like, killed them.
Right.
They were the best. And so why wouldn't he think that with his upstart league? American football, the upstart league.
Can
this
I give
was
you
Vince Lombardi? This was the famous Vince Lombardi. The trophy is named after Vince Lombardi. This is the guy who, if you look at the pictures of now, he looked like he dressed like the grocer at the local grocery store.
Right.
The short sleeve white shirt, the tie. You know what I mean? A couple of pens in the top pocket.
The frozen tundra. Hebsy, quick trivia question for you. Do you know who wrote the jingle, Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm is there?
Manilow?
Yeah. Bingo. Barry
next to him. Manilow. I sat next to him on a plate.
Did you chat him up?
Here's what it is. I looked at the guy's tired as hell. And I obviously could have. And I thought, how would I want to be? Like, you know, you got to sit. You're sitting next to a stranger. He's traveling all the time, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
How would I? And this was in first class, by the way.
Wow.
On Northwest. I got bumped.
How'd you get in there?
Business class, first class on Northwest from Detroit to Minneapolis.
Okay.
The flight. I had to get to a game at the Met Center in Bloomington back then. So I'm sitting right next to Barry Manilow. So I look at him, I nod, and he nods to me. And I'm thinking, what am I going to say? What should I say? Do I say something? Just going through a whole bunch of shit when I should really have been studying the work that I had to do. I think when the lady came over and gave us, asked for our dinner order or drinks or whatever it was, I turned to him and I said, I'm sure you get chattered up all the time. And I said, I do as well. So I'll leave you alone and you could leave me alone. And it was like that. And he was like, and he went, good plan. And we didn't say a word to each other for the entire flight. And then as we're leaving, again, out, he goes, I say to him, have a good show. He goes, yeah, have a good life.
Oh.
And that was that.
Okay.
And I thought about it and said, you know, you did the right thing, because you could have gone, oh, hi, this is a big fan of yours and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing. And, you know, I mean, it's nice to hear it, but now, oh, fuck, I'm stuck next to this guy. And once I engage him, he's going to want to talk about this and that and this and that. And I thought the same thing. I said, what if he was just a regular guy and he was like, oh, sports, eh?
Yeah.
And he just wanted to talk hockey for the whole flight. I'd be like, oh, fuck.
No, I hear you.
But I figure I'll just, you know, and for play all I cool. know, Barry, for all I know, he was about to say to me, aren't you Mark Hepscher? Aren't you Hebsy? Which was just, anyway.
Picking you up on the satellite, maybe. By the way,
you never know who's listening or who's watching.
You deserve a break today at McDonald's. Also, yeah. Another Barry Manilow. Hey, and I don't know if you have this in the agenda, but since we're talking NFL quickly here, what was your take on that Bills game? I was thoroughly disappointed by the Bills' effort in that match.
I think I mentioned to you that I was worried.
Yeah.
That their defense is suspect. And before the game, I didn't bet on them, and no, I wasn't confident after the week before. You know, they should have taken care of the Dolphins easily. They didn't. They have soft in the defense, and yeah, and but also you're talking about they played a team, Cincinnati, that went to the Super Bowl last year.
Sure,
this Joe Burrow didn't fall off a turnip truck, right?
Right.
I did mention that Cincinnati was missing three offensive linemen. Sure didn't look like it.
Nope.
Well, the replacements look pretty good. Buffalo without Von Miller is not the same team. And you know what? It's a disappointment, but I'm used to it. Bills fans are used to it.
That's
okay.
Sure.
Let's get to hockey now, because this week was just what a clusterfuck in Vancouver. I never liked the Vancouver Canucks. Okay. Yeah. And I never liked their fans. Not individually. Like, I don't like, you know, Jody Vance is a friend of mine. She's a Canuck fan. I dislike her, or, oh, you know, Don Taylor, or people that I know that are Canuck. I don't hate them. But as a group, Vancouver hockey people are just, you know, look at what they did. And the fans, in fact, the fans in this case were right, and they did the right thing. They loved Bruce Boudreau. He came and rescued the team last year. And now they fucking leave this guy twisting in the wind. And then finally, after the whole thing like that, where they finally said, all right, come into a meeting last Sunday morning, come here. Like, we knew it. Like, it was, you felt for Bruce Boudreau. And then Rick Tocchet takes over the Canucks. He gets one practice in, wins his first game, and then reality sets in. Okay? They beat Chicago the first night at home. It was great. And then the Canucks, is that one U.S., the Canucks, Bruce Boudreau and the Canucks and Rick Touché. Oh, my God, the whole freaking thing. No, he didn't call him Touché. He called him Rick Two Cat, Rick Two Cat.
Right.
Was just an abomination. It's absolutely awful. So they get their asses kicked in Seattle. They just get throttled. And what does Tocchet say afterwards? There's certain words, there's certain things you can say in private to your team and to each individual player as a coach. There are things that you just can't say to the media about your own team, especially if you're the new coach, brand new coach. And he calls his team soft. And I know Tuck pretty well. He didn't want to say it. He wanted to qualify it. And I don't remember. Now, I don't know the exact quote, but it was like, I don't like to use the word soft, but we were soft. It's kind of like that. I think that's pretty. Is that an apt description of how he did? He presented that.
That's very apt. Very
yeah,
apt.
Yeah. So he called this team soft. And they are soft. Right. But maybe this is something that you say in private. And instead of saying soft, you say something like, we need to be tougher. It's really the choice of words. So I'm thinking, if this is the choice of words that Rick, and by the way, Rick was he became a broadcaster, right? So like, oh, you can't coach anymore. Well, we could use your candor. We could use your storytelling ability. We could use your, you know, you're a fairly glib person, succinct, to the point, whatever. Got some humor in there. You played the game. Let's throw you in there. So as a commentator on TNT with the boys, with Biz Nasty and with, Liam and Gretz, so that's one thing. But that's another whole story when you're out there talking to the Vancouver media, because they'll fucking eat you alive. They'll eat you. You think the Toronto media is tough? Okay. It's not. It's not. The Vancouver media, that's tough. The Winnipeg media, Calgary media, the Edmonton, they got nothing else.
Right.
There's no Blue Jays over there or Raptors over there. It's all encompassing. Oh, yeah, they got the CFL team too. But in Vancouver, no Grizzlies. Lions have shared during football season. Yeah, I'm sure they do. But it's Canucks, 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 Canucks. You saw what they did against Boston, those fans. They rioted. They want some. They want a championship team. They want a team like the Leafs have, except they don't want to go out in the first round either. And they're not getting it. And now they, and then Boudreaux comes and he's a likable guy and they want, but the team is shit. And the ownerships are a bunch of bums. And then they hire Tocchet and it leaks out that they were talking to him. And then it leaks out that they offered him a deal. And Boudreaux, I wonder if Boudreaux got on the phone and said, talk. Like, hey, buddy, did they offer you the deal? Like, and he's like, oh, I can't say, whatever. Like, it was just not awkward. Wasn't even the word, the way they handled it. Like a bull in a china shop. They just made a mess of it. So ownership, idiots. Management, idiots, right? The players, soft, according to their coach. Fan base, enraged.
Oy. Bruce, there it is.
Speaking of calm, the Maple Leafs. I don't see no panic, no. Everything's good. We win in overtime. Mitch Marner takes on three Rangers. We can beat any team in the league. Any team in the league. Our goaltending's been superb. This team can play. This team can beat any team in the league. Can they beat them in a seven-game series? Well, we're going to find out. Right? But again, it doesn't matter how they do against those teams. It matters how they do against Tampa. It's only, so I'm watching Tampa. Tampa, good team. It's going to be a good series. Right? Leafs are 12 back of Boston, so forget that. And 5 up on Tampa in the division. Tampa won, beat Boston. Good team. So that's what it comes down to. So we've got 30-odd games still to go and until the playoffs. So sit back and enjoy the ride. Watch Mitchie Marner and Austin Matthews and the boys do their thing.
Hebsy, it's wild.
Exciting hockey. Yeah.
It's wild you could have this front line and have this team with this kind of regular season and be the underdog in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, it may end up being that way. Mm-hmm. They got Ottawa tonight. The Leafs have Ottawa tonight. Oh, it's Ottawa. Oh, the only good thing for Ottawa is that Montreal's worse. It's true. They're lucky. The Sens have 45 points, one more than second last place Montreal, and Columbus is the dregs of the East. I think they're horrible. I think 33 points or something. Ugh. Oh, horrible. But as you know, on any given night, a team can beat, you know, one team can beat another. It's the way it is. But in a seven-game series. Matt Murray in goal for the Leafs tonight, if you care, if it matters, even though Ilya Samsonov is unbeaten at the Scotiabank Arena. The Leafs are off on Saturday night. No game Saturday night, but no. But they're going to play right up against the NFL playoffs. Right up against, bing! 5 o'clock face-off at the Scotiabank Arena Sunday against the Washington Ovechkins. 5 o'clock face-off. I'm sure people in the building will have the devices going. I'm sure in the private boxes they'll have the televisions going with the football. Or will they? Can you do that? Are you allowed to do that at the games? I guess you can if you're in a private box.
I'm sure you can.
Actually, because when we were at the Chappelle concert, you couldn't watch anything. There was no games to watch. You're there to watch comedy. No phones, no nothing. Talk to each other and then listen to the comedians.
A lot of rules at that concert.
Can't do that in a hockey game or a basketball game. Can't say that to people.
So we haven't
off your phone and watch the game.
We haven't been successful in our campaign. We need like a Bobby Clark or something to hack the bone here. We're trying to break Ovechkin's leg, but he seems to still be okay out there. So
yeah, see, that's it. Look, now you didn't hear me say I hope he gets a fractured skull.
No, of course not.
No, of course not.
Injury broken to Ovechkin.
Ankle. Broken right. Ankle. Okay.
Yes.
And this other thing. Oh, 812 for Ovechkin. It's only 74 behind Gretzky. Now here's the countdown has begun. Fuck off with that.
Meanwhile, you know, these new tanks that are being sent to Ukraine, which is yay, right. But the response is more, you know, targeted missile from Russia in Kiev. Now, in a sense,
I'd love to ask Ovi the question. I'd love to be able to go, by the way, Alexander, about those tanks that are going in and killing more Ukrainians. What are your feelings on that?
Right. This, remember, this is an invasion. This isn't a couple of countries fighting for some other piece of land. This is a aggressive invasion by an evil dictator. Any support for this man, I have zero tolerance for.
Yeah. By the way, aggressive invasion, that's redundant.
You can have a gentle invasion,
that's
right?
That's like 8 a.m. in the morning.
Like if you only invade with knives or something like that, it's not as aggressive as like bombs and guns. I feel like I'm gonna sing Zombie now with their tanks and their bombs and their bombs and their guns. Yeah, fuck that war, if I may, and Putin, and I can't believe, yeah, what a song.
One of the most disappointing 2 hours I ever spent that I can never get back was last Sunday when I tuned into the CBC, the Canadian Broad Corp in Castration, the same people that refused a documentary on the Tragically Hip. Refused up, we don't do that. These guys greenlighted a fucking documentary about a guy who was disliked, isn't the word, universally hated amongst Torontonians, Toronto Maple Leafs,
well,
fans,
humans,
hockey
right?
Fans, you know, nothing like that, right? And so, I'm not saying, look, oh, Jason Priestley's directing, well, we've got to go see that. Jason Priestley isn't down in every media and non-media is doing interviews with him. It's Jason Priestley.
Right.
Right? Okay, great. He's Jason Priestley. Well, fabulous. But God, it's, I don't know, his directorial, I mean, as a director, goes he... The Harold Ballard story. Offside, it was called. The Harold Ballard story. So we're taking someone who died 30 years ago plus.
Yeah.
Okay? A black era of Maple, in Maple Leaf history, one of the worst, right? And now, and no one's been clamoring, hey, how come there isn't a documentary on Harold Ballard? Why isn't there a documentary? He was such a famous guy. He was into, you know, nobody clamoring. Nobody knows about this guy. And now you're going to bring this back and you're going to tell me something new about Harold Ballard, who's been dead for 30 years, and new stories here? Or you're gonna, what are you going to do? You're Jason Priestley. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to rent out a space, okay? And you're going to bring in as many people as you can that live nearby that can come in and comment on Harold Ballard, right? It's a documentary. We'll put them all in basically in the same space. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get Alan Eagleson, and we're going to get Mary Ormsby. We're going to get Bob and Gord Stellick, okay? These are people
Rick
that
Vive.
Covered, were there. They were there. They covered Alan Abel, right? Right.
Yep.
These people who were there, who met Ballard, who worked with Ballard or worked for Ballard or have stories, firsthand accounts, they were there. Like, that's great. Rick Vive, right? People that were there. And other people, if they couldn't, if you couldn't get them that on, and they weren't available that day, well, too bad. You weren't going to go spend money to go and get, you know, Joe Bowen, let's say, or, well, you know, his first encounter with Mr. Ballard, or I don't know, whatever. Me, maybe.
Hebsy.
You used me at the beginning, used a clip of me at the beginning, okay? And in the clip, and I'm watching, I don't know, I'm in, and all right. of a sudden I look and I go, fuck, that's me. And then I hear going, I can't watch this garbage anymore. That was me in 1982 to my radio audience.
Wow.
1982
wow.
to my radio audience, the last place team, garbage team. This is what they were. This was every night, five nights a week on CKEY 590 radio. Leafs, Leafs, what the fuck's with the Leafs? Leafs, Nikolax, the coach, Leafs, Leafs. What the fuck is Ballard? Leafs, Leafs. Slava Duris, Yuri Sirha, Leafs, pounding, Leafs, Leafs. It was horrible, absolutely awful. And then this documentary, they what? What's with the story? Again with this farcucked story. Ballard turned off the air conditioning, turned up the heat. Wouldn't the story I heard was the only, you could only buy drink. There was no water fountains. You know, one of the Stellicks was like, water fountains? Who the hell? I don't remember any water fountains at Maple Leaf Gardens. I don't know. Were there water fountains there in 1964 when the Beatles concert was? I don't know. So just these little kind of stories. Okay, he was a cheapskate. Okay, fine. He wouldn't spend money. We all knew that. He was abusive. Okay, we knew that. He what?
Misogynist.
A couple of background. Misogynist. We knew that. King Clancy, relationship with King. We knew that. What else? Uh-huh. Went to jail? Yeah, we knew that. The abuse at Maple Leaf Gardens? Yeah, we knew that. Oh, that wasn't in the documentary. Nothing right. about the abuse. No.
And did he know? What did he know? When did he know it? Did he cover that up?
Nothing about that. Nothing right. new. Of course not.
Right.
He's dead. There's no news stories about that. Okay, Yolanda, we knew about that. So he didn't tell me anything. Not a thing. Priestley didn't tell me anything. Now, was this not for me? Sorry, if you knew about Ballard, this isn't for you. This is for people who want to know about Ballard. Who the fuck wants to know about him? Who? Okay, there's some people that are in of the age that, oh, I knew about it, heard the name, but I didn't know how horrible he was. You didn't? You didn't know about the lack of success the Maple Leafs had in the 70s? All the great players that Ballard let go wouldn't pay? Wanted Roger Nilsson to come out with a bag over his head, blah, 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 all that shit. Instead, it was a bunch of CBC clips from Barbara Frum and from As It Happens and from Adrian Clarkson and me, the story they did on me, where the reason they did the story was the Leafs were so horrible that I organized a protest in front of Maple Leaf Gardens. Tickets were burned.
Right.
Okay, they were Marley tickets.
That's right.
Alan Abel found us out. True, true. But again, there was outrage. I mean, this was the Toronto center of the universe, and we had Jim Korn on our team. And we had Ballard brought back Punch Imlach, which was well documented, you know. So they just recently just went through a bunch of CBC footage. And, okay, and a couple of stories and bring in the Stellics. But here's the part that bothered me the most. Mm-hmm. The Stellick brothers were there. They knew. I mean, both of them, I would say close to intimately as possible. Saw him in his road running around Maple Leaf Gardens, knew where his apartment was. He, you know, would chat with them, right? But why are Donovan Bennett and Faisal Kamisa in this documentary? Both nice fellows, younger fellows, neither one of them old enough to have worked with or even being around during the Ballard era.
Both under 40, I believe.
And diversity too, right, Mike?
Oh, yeah, people of color, absolutely, yes.
But again, I want context, and I didn't feel that. I'm sure they felt great that they were asked to be part of this. But essentially, their clips were like, well, Harold Ballard would have never, he would have been canceled today. Well, yeah, but so would have tons of people from that era. Like, yeah, that's obvious. Okay, we know that he could have never, impossible, right. You know. He wouldn't have, 20 years ago, he wouldn't have been able to get away with this stuff. He wouldn't. And they showed footage of, you know, the people that were the old Harold Ballard, anybody at that advanced age in their 80s, I think he was 85 or 86, whatever it was, are going to be less. And with cameras all around and, you know, there he is in a wheelchair. There he is with his cane. There he is with Yolanda. Let's get him. It was a fucking feeding frenzy. I was around at that time. It was, he said what? He did what? Every move, okay? The stock market would fucking go up. He got sick, the stock market went up. So, man, why would you want to do, like, what do you need to bring in Faisal Kamisa and Donovan Bennett for their perspective? I mean, I think pretty, I don't know. Because they're persons of color, like you say, diversity. I get it. It's the CBC. I get it. These are the same people. They turned down the Tragically Hip documentary. What the fuck are you? A bunch of fucking idiots. Terrible documentary. Okay?
Okay.
People who weren't even there to comment on. Oh, I suspect that he would be canceled today. No kidding.
Right.
Wow. Wow. Really? Don't bother. And I'll tell you another thing.
Yeah.
I didn't see any buzz at all on social media. Not even a little bit. What a great document. Really enjoyed that.
I don't think.
I saw some comments saying, oh, I learned some stuff I didn't know. What a prick. What an asshole. Well, what an idiot. What did I need to. You know, there was no good people in the doc. You know what I mean? It was about a guy. He wasn't a mass murderer, which would have been more interesting anyway. But there was a lot of things that they chose not to. Like, you know, if you're going to really make him out to be a bad guy, why don't you talk about, the horrible things that happened at Maple Leaf Gardens that were discovered after, just after he passed.
I don't know how you do the doc without talking about that. Like, we're not talking about making unfair allegations here, but acknowledging that this happened on his watch. And I mean, okay, so let me just, give me a moment here, because I was very interested to watch this documentary because, as you know, in 2021, I put out an audio documentary. I called it a Mikeymentary on Harold Ballard because I find the Harold Ballard story to be fascinating. But again,
it can be if it's told well, yes.
And it's interesting because you talk about people of color of their perspective. One gentleman who was there and has really interesting stories because I had him in my documentary.
Sunil Joshi. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot. That's right. Of course.
Yeah, Sunil and Sunil Joshi,
who covered the team.
He was there.
Was, Harold had said, you know, who's that brown guy over there? Like stuff like that, yeah. Right?
So I was, so again, a lot of bias here from me because I put together a micumentary by talking to people like Gord Stellick and Mary
As
Ormsby.
As I referred to, it was excellent.
I know, and Rick Vive.
Except you didn't even ask me. I only.
I don't know how that happened, actually, but there's going to be a sequel. I don't know how that happened.
He had me banned from Maple Leaf Gardens.
You know
he
what?
He saw me once, a couple rows. He turned over and he goes, get that fucker out of here. Now, someone else had said, and I never heard it, but someone had said that he had said, you know, called him a Jew, get that Jew or whatever. I never heard that.
Wow.
Was he capable of that? Sure. But how do I say this now? Like my dad's 90 and he says shit that you don't want to hear, right? And when Ballard was of that age, he said stuff that he said it in public. People heard it, right?
Right.
He was a racist. He was a misogynist.
Right.
Terrible.
He was like an Archie Bunker type figure where it's
but
just.
But he got a pass. He got a pass. The reason he got a pass was because the media was just dying to hear what he would see,
right.
What he would say to inflame something. He was front page news and he knew he was front page news.
Right.
That was the sad part is he just pulled the media around, right? Pulled them around.
Sure.
Nobody could say, "Up, leave him alone. Don't pay attention to what Ballard says." No, it was the opposite.
Right.
He was the Paris Hilton or the Kim Kardashian or the
right
of his time.
Right. Right. So two quick things and I'll pass the mic back to Hebsy here. But one is that I learned nothing new from the doc, which disappointed me because I'm pushing 50 here. So I did live the tail end. But of course, I am interested in the topic. So I've gone back into the history books and I've talked to people like you about this. So I'm kind of a not like your typical guy who might be ignorant to the Harold Ballard thing. But I learned nothing new, which was disappointing to me. And secondly, I felt it was awfully safe. If you listen to my documentary, there's, you know, we get stories about the dog's balls being stuck to the ice and and Ken Daniels will come on. And then I have the clip, you know, of Harold Ballard saying you can't let women in the dressing room.
They used that clip, didn't they?
Oh, I missed it maybe. Did they use that clip?
Yeah, they used the clip. They used that one that had never aired before.
Okay, the one I put on YouTube from Ken.
Kenny asked him from YouTube. Yeah, oh yeah. They
about the size of the cocks in there and.
But they see, that's the other thing is that they were safe. They bleeped out. Like, see, in the original documentary, the original story that they had done CBC years ago, when the cameras followed Ballard around, they had a board meeting. They followed him to Hamilton, where him and King watched the Tie Cats. That footage, in that footage, that original CBC footage of that. He drops the N-word a few times.
Wow.
Well, they bleep it out on this particular documentary. Sure. So you're right.
It was too safe.
It's a soft version of it.
If you're going to do this, the way I was thinking when this was being proposed was, oh, imagine I had a budget to do mine because I did mine on a budget of $0 and 0 cents. Okay. I put blood, sweat, and tears into it, had the conversations, whatever, even though I had a glaring omission. But imagine I had a budget. What could I do? So, oh, Jason Priestley, he's got to have some kind of budget. He can do this right. I can't wait.
Jason Priestley's coming to Hollywood. Man, is this going to be a movie? Who's going to play the part of Harold Ballard? If you're going to do something, like fucking do it.
Yeah, go big or go home. Yeah, don't waste our time.
About the Grinch from Toronto, the Carlton Street cash box. Like, right. Do it up. In fact, make it a based on a true story. Don't use archival stuff that everybody's seen. Go ahead and do. I would watch that. I would fucking want to cast that movie. And I would say, this is a guy who had the entire city, all these Maple Leaf fans. Imagine someone owning the Brazilian national soccer team. He owns the team. Anything that happens with this, the entire country, not in this case, but all their fans can't wait for the next move. Is he going to buy this guy, sell this guy, say this, do that, trade this guy, whatever the fuck, right? So to me, it was a soap opera when it was going on every day. I lived it every day from 1977, okay, when I started until the day he died, 1990, where they called me. I was in St. Louis, right? All the board of directors, the Leafs were playing the playoffs in St. Louis. They called me, so you got to do a stand-up outside the hotel.
Right.
And, you know, the Harold Ballard thing, and go get clips. I remember going to members of the board of directors, like players, like just, you know, what did you think? Now, what are they going to say? They go, oh, he was an asshole. Sure. He was, no, you know, Mr. Brown, you know, the man just died. Right. And so, you know, as a human being, right, you're just, you know, what happened. But like deep down, people are dancing and singing. They're like, yay. You know, he's gone now. Now the Maple Leafs now. And 2 years later, they're in the Final Four. And then the year after that, they're in the Final Four. you see.
Right.
So right. It was very quickly forgotten. It was that the Ballard era was over. Boom. And there were no Ballards involved, right? It's corporate, it's, I forget.
Stavro, right?
Yeah. Stavro, and then, you know,
Nob Hill Farms.
That whole thing. That whole, you know, Don Giffen led the board of directors. The whole thing. They could have gotten Gretzky. Didn't get Gretzky. Oh, that whole nonsense. And then, boom, a couple of, you know, back-to-backers with Gilmore and Andrechuk and Wendell Clark and Felix and all that stuff. And since then, you know what, two more Final Four appearances?
Yeah, with Pat Quinn.
Under Pat Quinn in 2003, four.
Yep, with McGillney and Sundin and Gary Roberts.
And since then, Bupkis. Terrible documentary. That's all we're going to talk about that. The NBA All-Star Game goes the weekend of February 17th at the Vivint Arena in Salt Lake City. Starters announced yesterday. In the East, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving from Brooklyn. Fuck Brooklyn. Donovan Mitchell of Cleveland and Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. Starting five in the West, Luka Doncic. He's awesome from Dallas. He's such a good player. You got LeBron. You got Nikola Jokic of Denver. Really good player. Steph Curry and Zion Williamson. I hope he stays healthy because he's a terrific player. Those are your starters. For LeBron, it's his 19th. NBA All-Star appearance that ties in with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most All-Star games. The captains are LeBron and Giannis. LeBron, by the way, 5-0 as a captain. They're going to pick the rest of their teams just prior to the game in a televised event.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
So I don't know how that works. They have guys on standby or they're already there or it's the day before and then they fly out. I don't, but it's a televised event. They pick their teams. So that'll be exciting. That'll be must-see TV. I enjoy that. I like that, the drama of that.
Yeah, you got to spice it up.
You're hoping it's your guy. Is he picking Pascal's? Pick Siakam.
Right.
It'd be good. Speaking of the Raptors, they'd like to make a late push towards the playoffs, and not so late. Lots of games left. They got their 7-game road trip, got off to a good start the other night with a win in Sacramento against the highest scoring team in the NBA. Figure that one out. Kick the shit out of Sacramento, who averages like 117, 118 points a game. Good on them. I think the Raptors defense is going to win them some games. It has to. And they got to improve their road record off to a good start tonight. They're in Oakland against the Golden State Warriors. Is there an arena in Oakland? I'm trying to think. I think it's in Oakland. Yeah.
Oakland.
What's it called? The Oracle Arena? Something like that. I can't keep up with the names. I used to know the name of every stadium. Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, in the good old days.
And
when
what's the corporate? M&T Bank Stadium? What the hell is it?
Yeah.
HSBC Arena? I can't remember.
And I don't want to remember. Like, I hate the idea now that it's like you're promoting like
Skydome,
this huge.
Skydome.
Yeah, let's call it. But what do we call this Air Canada Center / Scotiabank Arena? Like, it never had a name.
Right.
MLG 2.0. I don't know.
Does it really matter?
No.
Raptors, by the way, one game out of the play-in position, not playoff position, play-in position. Lots of hoop left to be played there in Portland tomorrow, Phoenix Monday, Utah Wednesday, Houston next Friday, Tuesdays with Maury. Okay. Wednesday's child is like, holy shit. What day is it? What time limit are we?
Monday's Warrior mean. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So Portland, Phoenix, they're both in the Pacific time zone. Then they go to Utah, which is the mountain time zone. So that's one time zone closer to the east. Then Houston, which is the central time zone. And then back to the eastern time zone. Hoy Vesmer. In tennis, the finals are set at the Australian Open. Novak Djokovic, who was banned from last year's tourney because he wasn't vaccinated, wiped out American Tommy Paul in straight sets, 7-5, 6-1, 6-2. He goes to the finals against Greece's Stefanos Tsitsipas, who knocked off Kirill Khachanov. 7-6, 6-4, 6-7, 6-3. The final goes Sunday morning at 3:30 a.m. Eastern time. And by the way, Mike, Stefanos Tsitsipas is very, very popular in Australia. Do you know why?
No.
Over 200,000 people of Greek origin live in Australia.
I did not know that. Okay.
It's true. In fact, I mentioned last week, Nick Kyrgios' doubles partner, Kokoraitis, whatever. Anyway, there's lots of Greek. So yeah, he's got a huge following down there, and he gets the hated Novak Djokovic. Boo! Right, the villain, white hat versus black hat. That's Sunday morning at 3:30. The women's final set for tomorrow morning at 3:30 a.m. Uh-oh, I did it. Tomorrow morning, 3:30 a.m. Of course it's a.m., as you do. And the participants will be Elena Rybakina of Kazakhstan. That's Elena Rybakina of Kazakhstan. And Aryna Sabalenka of Belarus. That's right, a Kazakh against a Belarusian in the final. Rybakina, by the way, the defending Wimbledon champion, you may recall, or yes. You may not.
No, I do.
Well, that's right, she did. Yeah, she won Wimbledon this year, and she knocked off the number one seed, Iga Swiatek, in the fourth round. Number one. You knock off number one, pretty good. So she's reached the final in two of her last three Grand Slam events. Sabalenka is in her first ever Grand Slam final. And it's good for the countries of Kazakhstan and Belarus as well. Kazakhstan, Rybakina is, she was Russian. And then she switched over to Kazakhstan. She, how did that work again? Like if you disassociate yourself with Russia, you don't have to worry about being banned, right? You're basically saying I'm from Russia, but I want to be from Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan, fine, but the Belarusians are very that's close right. to Russia, very close.
That's exactly right. See, that's why it could be in a more interesting match, maybe even maybe the political part. You know, it's possible that Rybakina might be going, you fucking Belarusians, could be. Every year at this time, January, cold, middle of the week, 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, Major League Baseball says, hey, perfect time to announce the inductees to the Baseball Hall of Fame this summer. Right? Perfect. It's Tuesday night at 6:30. Okay, fine. And as you know, Mike, you've got to get 75% of the vote. To be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. It is the toughest Hall of Fame to get into. They were thinking maybe nobody gets in. Like Fred McGriff was already in. He was brought in by the, I think it's called the Modern Era Committee, right? Where if you did not get in your 10 years of eligibility on the ballot, they revisited every couple of years and they, you know, from various eras, they have a selection committee that goes over whether someone's worthy of getting in. So it's not the writers. It's this, you know, new committee, this modern era committee. So Scott Rowland gets in just over 75% of the votes necessary for induction. So he's in. So it's going to be him and Fred McGriff. And immediately upon the announcement that Scott Rowland was getting in, baseball fans voiced their concerns. Now this happens all the time, but more so nowadays. Micah, here's why. Mm-hmm. And Scott Rowland was a fine ball player. Fine. But a lot of people are saying, you know, if you take away Bonds and Clemens and A-Rod and Manny Ramirez and all the other characters, cheaters, you have a much shallower pool of potential Hall of Famers. Do you know what I mean? You have more players in the mix now that these players are essentially ineligible or will not be voted in right. by the writers. And so now you're looking at the eligible players. You're going, well, not him. He's a drugger. He's a druggie. He's a druggie. He's a druggie. He's a druggie. And now you're going, oh, how many years have these guys been on the ballot and which ones of them get in? So Rowland just got in. He just got in. But Todd Helton didn't make it in. And Billy Wagner didn't make it in. And I'm here to tell you that back in the day, I'm not sure I would have thought of Todd Helton as a Hall of Famer or Billy Wagner as a Hall of Famer.
No.
And the reason is because these other players, the ones I mentioned who were drug users, they would have been the ones in the conversation. But since they're not, now it's a shallow pool. Now it's like, okay. And so that's why, just barely with a little over 75%, only Rowland gets in. These other guys, maybe they will get in next year. But maybe they won't because of who's available on next year's ballot. Because every year, new guys come in. And it's, I don't know, it's weird. So people were like, well, if Scott Rowland is in, why not Carlos Delgado?
Right.
For example. Well, you know, Delgado is going to get in the other way, the way McGriff got in. He's not going to get in by the writers. What about Dave Steeb? Same thing. He's not on the ballot. So you can't say, how come he's not in? You got to wait for this modern era committee to get together again and decide. And when they do, You got Delgado, you got Steve, you got Don Mattingly, you got Keith Hernandez, you got Todd Helton, you got Billy Wagner, you got Carlos Beltran, you got Gary Sheffield. You got so many guys and so many more guys that are going to be eligible that, you know, it's tougher now. So I would never say to someone who was inducted into a Hall of Fame that that person didn't deserve to get in. You got voted in, good for you, right? Were there extenuating circumstances? Yeah. Yeah, you kind of got lucky that you played in the same era as all these steroid users, because if not, you probably wouldn't have gotten in. You may not have gotten in. It's possible. And nowadays, with the new committees coming out, the Veterans Committee, they called it, that's for the, you know, there's different eras. I think there's three eras, different committees for three different eras. There's like the dead ball era, there's the modern era, and then there's the, you know, the contemporaries, whatever it's called, contemporary era. But anyway, all these other guys are going to have to wait. And I think it's a shame that Carlos Delgado's not in and Dave Steeb. But if you told me pick one of the two and who would have the best chance, like if you say, okay, only one Toronto guy can go in and you pool your resources to one guy.
Delgado.
Like you think so?
Yeah. I think
not a chance. Not a chance. Yeah. No, it's absolutely Dave Steeb. Absolutely. The most overlooked is Steeb. The most overlooked without question. Take war, take everything else. How many one-hitters?
Yeah, a bunch.
Dominant yeah. pitcher. Jack Morris is in the Hall of Fame. Dave Steeb's not?
Right.
What, because he didn't win World Series?
Right.
Come on, man. Really? His numbers, the team he played for, oh, yeah, Toronto. You know, come on, man. Anyway, and I saw both guys play, and Delgado was a hell of a player, too. And all these other guys I mentioned were as well.
Hey, quick question about Scott Rolen. When you were watching Scott Rolen, this is not that long ago. I watched his entire career too. Did you think to yourself, I'm watching a future Hall of Famer? Or did you think this guy's in the Hall of Very, Very Good?
Yeah, Hall of Very, Very Good. Yeah. I never thought he was a Hall of Famer. But again, he just got in and he was the best of the bunch. But the bunch didn't include the real gold nuggets.
You know what that's like?
But again, those players achieved their numbers, you know, with illegal substances. So maybe he is.
Well, Hebsy, man. Okay. Well, you've seen that footage of the guy who wins gold in the speed skating, and his strategy is he's going to just lay back and hope the first three people spill out, like they crash into each other, and then he ends up winning like by default or whatever.
Right. Remember that happened?
Yeah. Like this is like
the
that.
The short track speed skating?
Yeah. And it's great.
Americans, Apollo Ono, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I can't remember what country the guy who ended up getting the gold, but he only won the gold because his strategy, he knew he couldn't win against these guys. So I'll lay back and hope they crash.
Each other, and then
they did.
Literally just coasted in to the finish line.
So that's what Scott Rolen did.
Yeah, you're right. Well, in a way. I was scrolling through Netflix the other day, happened upon a movie I'd never heard of before called The Phantom of the Open. Hmm. So it's based on a true story of a man in England who tried to qualify for the British Open despite never having played golf.
Oh.
Like his wife says, go get a hobby, go do something.
Right.
And he sees golf on TV. I won't give it away. He sees golf on TV, the British Open, and he watches and he goes, wow. And he starts to dream. And he's never played golf. And he goes out and gets clubs and balls and just practices. And he's never played. And his first round of golf ever is to qualify for the British Open. Because he gets in, I won't give the thing away, he manages to get in some way. Anyway, it's wonderful. It's part fantasy and pure fun. So it's called The Phantom of the Open. And it's on Netflix, okay?
It's like Rudy for golf. Is that right?
It's really good. It's really, really good. You will love this movie.
I know you're moving on to golf, but you mentioned Netflix. So did you ever finish Breakpoint?
Of course.
And is it?
It's not over yet. It's not over yet. It's only four episodes.
Oh, I see. It drops. Okay. Okay.
They're going to do another four. I don't know. They're going to drop another four in a few weeks or something like that.
Okay.
Because it goes through the entire season. So it's only up to, I'm trying to think where they are. Just after Wimbledon, is it? Or something like that. But anyway, the second half of last season is going to air. They're going to drop four more shows in a few weeks.
And a golf one's coming, right?
Yeah, golf one's coming as well. I guess just before the Masters.
All right, look at you. Okay. And speaking of golf.
And speaking of golf, the big battle this week is somebody had footage of Patrick Reed. This is at the Dubai Desert Classic. They're not playing at the Torrey Pines this week for the PGA Tour. This is Rory McIlroy of the PGA Tour and Patrick Reed of the LIV Tour. at the Dubai Desert Classic. So they're on the range. McIlroy's on the range. Somebody spots Patrick Reed with their cell phone. Take a care. Oh, there's Patrick Reed going over to Rory McIlroy, who McIlroy completely ignores him.
Oh, wow.
Completely. So Reed then kind of sarcastically throws a tee towards McIlroy, like tosses it towards him. And it's a live, like he said later, it's a live golf tee. But anyway, kind of sarcastically throws it over there. And so people are looking at this going, holy shit, like Patrick Reed goes, like, this guy's got balls. He's got gall to go over to McIlroy. This is the guy that he subpoenaed. Like Patrick Reed subpoenaed Rory McIlroy on Christmas Eve. He got delivered a subpoena from Reed, who was suing him.
Right.
Right? Suing him. So what would you do if you're out there? It doesn't matter what the situation is. And here comes, towards you comes a man, the same man who subpoenaed you on Christmas Eve. And now he's coming to say hi. So what would you do?
Yeah, he's well within his rights to ignore the guy. Of course. Yeah.
Well, it's right. The guy's a prick.
Right.
But here's the funny part of the story. And then afterwards, McIlroy was like, well, you know, what would you do? Kind of, you know, the guy subpoenaed me. He did subpoena me. And then the next day, all over golf Twitter, like Max Homa, who I follow, who's great. He's got stuff like, you know, hey, good day for me. 4 birdies, 2 bogeys, no subpoenas. Stuff like that. So anyway, so these two guys are playing in the Dubai Desert Classic, and there was a rain delay yesterday. And when Patrick Reed came out of the clubhouse or whatever, McIlroy went up to him and said, there's a rain delay. We're not going to be playing for about 90 minutes. So McIlroy said, I was the one who told Patrick that we weren't playing today. So in other words, it's not so bad. And he goes, and this is a quote, look, it's fine between us. It's been blown out of proportion. And once the golf starts, it's nice that we could all just focus on the birdies and bogeys and not all the rest of the nonsense, right? Like, let's just go play golf already. Like, you know, but people made a big deal of it because, oh, there's Patrick Reed and there's video of him going over there. There, what did he just do? He threw a tee. And this was from, you know, 100 feet away, somebody trying to, you know, get as close as they can on this interaction. No audio. Pretty funny. And by the way, Reed and McIlroy are tied for the lead at 6 under par. So they might end up playing together in the final round. Wouldn't that be something?
There you go.
Meanwhile, the Farmers Insurance Open started on Wednesday so they can finish Saturday and avoid the NFL playoffs. So after 2 rounds of play, the 200th ranked player in the world, American Sam Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R, yes, the same as the Ryder Cup, has a 3-shot lead at 12 under par. Canadians Adam Hadwin and Taylor Pendrith both made the cut on the number. They're at even par after 36 holes. Adam Svensson and Michael Glickick did not make the cut. And finally, Aaron Rodgers may end up a New York Jet pretty soon. What? Wow. Hepsi, are you mad? No, that's what they say. The Jets have hired Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive coordinator. Now, Nathaniel Hackett is the former head coach of the Denver Broncos, but more importantly, Nathaniel Hackett was the offensive coordinator at Green Bay with the Packers for 3 years. And who was his quarterback? No, it wasn't Bart Starr. Aaron Rodgers. So right. If he's with the Jets as the offensive coordinator, and Aaron Rodgers hasn't made a decision about his future, would Aaron Rodgers consider going to the New York Jets? And would the New York Jets consider signing Aaron Rodgers? If the answer is yes, then you're in for a pretty interesting football season next year. Because in New York, man, there was only one quarterback, Joe Namath. They won 1 Super Bowl, Joe Namath. That's it. That's it. That's all. That's Broadway Joe. You're Aaron Rodgers. You're going to New York City. Could be interesting.
Wow.
Especially with some of his, you know, political views, right? That's it for episode 318 of Hebsy on Sports. It was a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Hit him up at Toronto Mike and listen to his excellent podcast. Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. Hope you enjoyed the show. Tell your friends about this show. They may be listening to other things, or they may not know that this is the place where the Blue Jay fans, Leaf fans, and Raptor fans, and sports fans in general who want to know a little bit more. That's where they come. So tell your friends, pass it on, share it, tweet it, post it, let people know where to find the best sports talk show around. We are back with another episode next week. Until then, so long for now.